Sister Harriet, I realized yesterday that when you talked about your nephew, that topic came to me. Amen? And the topic of today's message is another hill to climb. Another hill to climb. Amen? Don't you know that whatever it is that you're going through, it's just another hill to climb. Amen? We sit around and we think, does the hill ever end? And I don't know if you ever started walking up a hill. And you start walking up a hill, climbing up a hill, or driving up a hill, and it seems like it's never going to end. And you wonder, is this hill ever going to end? Now, as you're ascending and you're walking, sometimes you can like almost see the end of the hill, but it's not the end of the hill. You have a false sense of something ending, but that hill has not ended yet, amen? And after a while, you start to wonder, who thought of this idea to go up this hill? Amen? Sometimes the enemy will play tricks on us. You see, when we come to Christ, the enemy places more hills for us to climb and to go over. And we start to think and feel like, well, maybe I had it better on the other side or down the hill in the valley. But Christ has told us that we will have hills that we have to climb. Amen? Have you ever went up a hill so far and you were tired and you wanted to turn back? But then you turned and looked around and said, it's easier going to the top than it is going back down to the bottom. Amen? And even as you continue to move on, you realize that there's safety at the top and there's danger down at the bottom. Come on, somebody. Have you ever had another hill like that to climb in your life? Well, I want you to know this morning that there's always another hill. Amen? There is a much more serious analogy that I want you to have with this feeling, that when we come to think of how hard it is to climb that hill, how hard is that struggle that we have against sin? Amen? Because when we struggle against sin, we're struggling against the hill that we have in our lives. Now, my hill that I have to climb might be different than your hill, but it's still a hill. Amen? I still got that hill to climb. I venture to say to you that sometimes your hill never changes till you cross that hill. We have certain hills in our lives that when we got saved and we got converted, we got that hill that we got to get over. But then the devil puts another hill that we got to climb. Some of us get tired at the first hill, we never make it to the second. We get discouraged at the first hill, we never make it to the next one. We get discouraged at the first sign of heights and danger that we never make it to the next one. We get too tired going up the hill that we never make it. But Christ says that he will renew our strength day by day. Every day, Christ can renew your strength. Have you ever got up in the morning before you went to work and you're like, oh, Lord, I got to go to this place again. And it's only Monday. And you got to go all the way to Friday. But let me tell you something. That's just a hill to climb. Because the biggest part of that hill was always getting there. Not what I had to do when I got there, but getting there. Sometimes we get discouraged before we get to the hill. And I'm saying don't get discouraged to when you get to the hill. But when you get to the hill, know that now you're at the hill, you can make it. We often pray that we want to see progress while we are going up this hill. Sometimes we start talking to ourselves. Have you ever started talking to yourself? You're in the process of doing something, and you start talking to yourself. You start muttering to yourself. You start discouraging yourself. Or sometimes you can encourage yourself. I'm here this morning to let you know that you can encourage yourself in every situation. They always tell me, how do you eat an elephant? Well, you start with the first bite. How do you climb that hill with the first step? Hallelujah. We work and we pray situations and circumstances in our jobs and in our families and our communities will get much better. And we always want it to get better, so we continue trying to make it up that hill. And sometimes the enemy plays a trick on us. Let me explain this to you. Have you ever seen the icon of this king called Cepheus, who was always pushing this rock up the hill? Well, there's something in Greek mythology where this king, he was a manipulator. He was cunning. He was deceitful. And what he would do is he would have all the people, his adversaries, come over to his place. And when they're there, he would kill them. Because he wanted more influence on over everybody. Amen? Now, it's not to say that he didn't do some good things. There was a lot of advancements that went in navigation when he was the king. But he did this for many years until he got caught. And when he got caught, his punishment for all of his misdeeds, according to this story in the Greek mythology, was that he would have to take this big humongous rock and push it up a hill. And every time he could see the top of the hill, he would lose grip of the rock. And it would roll all the way back down, and he would have to go all the way back down and start pushing it again. The enemy likes to do things to us, at least in our mind. Just when we think that we're at the top of something, or we overcome a hill, he'll put something in the way. And we might lose our grip, and we go running back to the bottom, and we might try again, but discouragement sets in. Frustration sets in. But don't you know, when you got Jesus Christ on your side, no matter what the enemy do, you're going to get to the top of that hill. You're going to get to the top of that mountain. Amen? I want you to know today that there is a creator of this universe. I want you to know today that there is somebody that is working in your favor. All the stressing and the pressing forward that you're doing, it's not for nothing. Your faith is very important in your pushing. Your faith is very important in your effort. Because as your rock goes up, your faith is holding your fingers and your body to that rock to help it get there. Amen? So I read something about, what's his name, from Africa. Can't think of his name right now. Nelson Mandela. This is what he said. I have walked that long road to freedom. I have tried not to falter. I have made missteps along the way. But I have discovered the secret that after climbing a great hill, one only finds that there are many more hills to climb. I have taken a moment here to rest, to steal a view of the glorious vista that surrounds me, to look back on the distance I have come. But I can only rest for a moment, for with freedom come responsibilities, and I dare not linger, for my long walk is not ended. And I say this morning that we have more hills to climb. Because after we get to the end of one hill, we discover that there are more hills to climb. Have you been in a situation with your family and you've overcome some great hill and you're resting and you turn around and there's another hill to climb? There's another child that needs some more attention. There's another situation going on at school. There's another bill that has to be paid. There's another something that you have to buy. Maybe your child got in another accident with the car. Maybe somebody got put in jail. There's another hill that you have to climb. And we might rest for a little while, but always be on guard that we got a long road ahead of us. And there's always a hill to climb. So the thing that brought me to the hill was the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, why does the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, what does that have to do with another hill to climb? Well, in the Bible, climbing mountains and going in valleys have always been symbolic of what has to happen in our lives. Amen? You see, to get something, to get somewhere, there's a hill to climb. So when you look at Matthew, the 17th chapter, and the first verse, and let me set this up for you. Right before that starts, Jesus has already just foretold them of the things that were going to happen to him. And you know that sometimes things are going to happen. And Jesus realizes that when things happen, I want you to get this, that sometimes when you realize that you're getting ready to go through a battle and things happen, you can't take everybody with you. Amen? So he took three people with him. There were 12 disciples, but he only took three. And it took him a while for him to decide who he was going to take. Amen? So before you take somebody with you on your way up the hill, you need to pray about who you're taking with you. You need to pray about who you're telling about what you're getting ready to do. Because everybody's not happy for you. And everybody don't want you to get to the top of that hill. So the scripture says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them as his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. And in verse 9 it says, and as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Now this setting, it might be a little moot point, but there's two different understanding of what mount of transfiguration, which mountain it was on. The Roman Catholics identify it as Mount Tabor. Most Christians identify it as Mount Hermon, since it's the site as the transformation, because it is closer to where Jesus taught. It is also where Peter made his confession. Amen? But the main thing that I want to say is that it doesn't make a difference what mountain. It was still higher than us. So it was a high mountain to climb. And I'm clarifying that because somebody might want to make a point of, well, he went to this mountain. And somebody else said, no, he went to that. And it really doesn't make a difference what mountain he went to. He went to the mountain and he was transformed and transfigured in front of them. Amen? But the scripture says he led them up a high mountain. You see, Jesus wanted them to know something. They thought that they were just getting ready to go up there to pray. And they were going to pray. But this was a showing to them of who he was. But if one of them said, I'm not climbing that mountain with you, Jesus. I'm not. It's too far. I'm not going. What if one of them went halfway up the mountain and decided that it's too far? I'm tired. But Jesus already knew who his disciples were. That's why he picked those three. You see, the mountain you're going through, Jesus already knows who you are. And that's why he picked you. So as they were going up this high mountain, and they finally reached this mountain, they saw something that nobody else would ever see. And not only were they blessed with seeing Jesus being transformed, they saw Elijah and Moses come down. And when they saw that, they knelt down. And by the time they got up again, they were gone. And all they could see was Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if I seen Moses coming here today, not only would I bow down, I might be right at that door. That's all they could do was bow down. When you're on a mountain and Christ is there with you, what they did, you have to do. Because what he did, when his presence was there, it invited spirits, holy spirits in there, Moses, Elijah. When you get to the top of the mountain that Christ takes you to, don't you know that the Holy Spirit is going to be there? And you need to bow down for that accomplishment that you've gone through. Take a little time and rest and know that he is Christ, that he is God, that he has taken you through something. But you're going to have another mountain to climb, and you need some more anointing in your life. Somebody say hallelujah. There's a purpose in this climbing up the mountain. Because every day, we are always dying and rising with Christ. And we are in repeated cycles as we journey along the way. This pattern of going up the mountain is the pattern of the cross. The pattern of the cross is always in the climb and in the rising and in the glory of the mountaintop. When Christ was crucified, they didn't crucify him on flat ground. They crucified him up on a mountaintop. Amen? So even in his final moments as a human, he had to climb the mountaintop. Amen? He didn't just die in prison. He didn't just die on the way there. He had to die on the mountaintop. The gospel shows this is a pattern that we must go through. And if we look at it, there's three stages of this. There's a purpose in the trials. The text says Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. Amen? The climb, even though we say it's not a high mountain, the Bible says it's a high mountain. People will tell you, well, the mountain's not that high. But that mountain is 2,000 feet high. It's a little higher than I think that I want to be. Amen? The climb was a rough climb. Amen? We get the song, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. And I'm doing my best. You know, when you're going up those mountains, they're rough mountains that you got to go up. Amen? You just got to do your best. That's all Christ requires you to do. Amen? Maybe I could run up that side of the mountain and you got to crawl. But all you got to do is do your best. Because you know what? The end line is the top of the mountain. It's not how fast you get there. It's not how strong you are when you get there. It's having the endurance, perseverance to get to the top of the mountain. And when you get to the top of the mountain, there's another song that we say, my soul looks back and wonders how I got over. Have you ever gone through something and wondered how you got over? You didn't get over by yourself. You got over by the goodness of the Lord because he carried you. Went through the things that you had to go through. I know right now there's some people that are going through some situations and God is carrying you and people are looking at you. The enemy is looking at you and he's wondering how you make it. But don't be fooled. He knows how you're making it. You see this climb. Sometimes we sing that we're climbing on Jacob's ladder. Going higher and higher and higher. You can't be on the mountaintop down in the valley. You can't be on the mountain just walking on plain flat ground. You got to climb. That means it takes effort. It takes some sweat. It takes some endurance. This thing that we're going through called life, it is a mountain that we have to climb. Not only do we have to climb as we're climbing, we have to endure. Endurance is more than physical. It's mental. It's mental. Endurance takes a mentality that you're going to get it done. And I venture to say, if I ask you right now to get down and do 50 push-ups, maybe you'll do it, okay? But if I ask you to go through stress, it's harder to go through the stress than to do the physical, mental aspect. Amen? You see? I can only talk about me. When I used to get a beating, I just want to get a beating and get it over with. Because it's a physical thing. Sooner or later, the aches and the pains and the sores and the wets were going to go down. But the mental stress of not being able to do the things that I wanted to do, to go outside and play for a week or whenever I like it, was such stress that I didn't know when it was going to end. Because I reached the point where physical beatings were no longer effective. Well, let me tell you something. Do you know that sometimes when you come into the realm of the Lord, that you get beat physically, and then you get tired of getting that beat, and it don't do nothing to you because you're used to it. And God start putting some physical stress on you to get your attention. And when he puts that on you, when you go to sleep, you're still wondering what is going on. Why am I going through this? What is it that I'm not doing? The physical stress, the mental stress, I should say, that can go through you will rack you like anything physical can never do. Because there's always something going on. When you go to eat, you can't eat. You try to go to sleep, you can't sleep. You go to talk, and the only thing you can talk about is the stress that you're going through. It has encompassed you. It has closed you in this bubble. It has put you in this box that you can't get out. We all got mountains to climb in this life. We all have endurance that we have to go through. We're all going to have our strength tested. Maybe it was the climb of getting a college degree with Sister Donna. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Maybe it was the mountain of that college, that master's degree, that mountain that you had to climb. Amen? That was a mountain to climb. Some others are going to school right now. That's a mountain to climb because you're going through the stress. Taking a test is not physical. It's mental. Getting up and going to school is fine. You love that. But when they say, okay, we got a final exam, we got a midterm, it's from here to there, you're like, how am I going to do it? The stress that you go through. Oh, hallelujah. Higher and higher. Come on, Minister Ricardo, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's the climb of trying to raise children. Hallelujah. Children are cute when they're born, but there's a responsibility that comes with it. Oh, hallelujah. It ain't going to be always them peaches and cream and them cute little pictures you take. You know, those cute pictures are just a reminder of what could be or what used to be. Maybe it's the hill building a career. Do the best you can. You go through the stress of getting your college degree, and now you're all prepared, and you're walking into the office, and you're waiting for them to give you that promotion that you've been going, waiting for, that you've gone to school for, that they promised you 4 or 5 years ago that if you do this, then maybe we can do something for you. And you climb that hill, and you get up there, and the enemy says, no, I don't think so. No. Not right now. Maybe when something opens up for you, we'll consider it. Amen? Building that career. what the enemy tries to do to you at those times. He tries to frustrate you. He tries to put disappointment in your life. He wants you to feel like you didn't have no value to the climbing of that mountain. But I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever mountain you climb, there's some value in it because God has placed you there and he helped you get through it. Amen? No matter what it is, there was some effort in that struggle. And don't let that difficulty of that climb ever go away from you. Don't let nobody belittle that climb, what you've done. Amen? We thought that, and we might wish that, this climb that we go through has no struggles. If you got something for free, it's not worth anything to you. If you got something for free, it's not worth anything to you. You notice how you struggle to get all them toys at Christmas? Sometimes not even a week later, them toys is in the corner. Them toys is broken up. Have you ever brought a younger child or older child a toy like a car? All of a sudden, there's a dent in this fender. There's a dent in that fender. There's an accident that just happened. Speeding tickets. Because they don't care. They don't understand. But they don't understand that you're paying the insurance on the car. You're paying for tickets because you gave it to them for free. The only thing that I know that is really worth something for free is salvation. Because if we had to pay for it, we couldn't afford it. Hallelujah. We wish that life had no struggles, but there's purposes in the struggle. Do you know as you're going up that mountain, God uses those problems to direct you? Amen? Sometimes God's got to light a fire underneath you to get you going. We're too complacent in the things that we're doing. It's easy sitting back doing nothing. It's easy just sitting there and let other people do it. It's easier when somebody else has to work. It's easier when somebody else has to go to the store. It's easier when somebody else has got to raise the children. It's easier when it's somebody else. Jesus already died on the cross. He already shed his blood. How much more easier can it be? It was easier for the first Adam and the first Eve. It was so much easier for them. But see, they ain't worked for nothing. And they got it for free. They were given a few instructions. Have you ever saw people, you give them a few instructions? And they can't follow that. Just a couple. And every time you get instructions, people want to add a little something on to it. I was reading the other day, and somebody said, well, you know, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of that tree and not to touch it. Where does it say he said not to touch it? We put more restrictions on God than he puts on us. He didn't say not to touch it. He said don't eat it. There's things that God tells us and he restricts us. And we put more things on it. And then people don't want to come to God because they think that he's this real strict entity. Don't put limitations on him. Don't put words in his mouth. He said what he wanted said when he said it. It's written in the book. God uses problems to point us in a new direction. Amen? If every time you go down a street, this gang is going to chase you and beat you up, aren't you going to find a new way home? Aren't you going to get tired of getting beat up? God wants us to change a direction. So he puts some stuff in there for you. Amen. Motivating us to change. Amen. Pain makes us change. Amen. So when you're going through things right now, I want you to ask yourself a question. Is God trying to get your attention? You know that we are hard-headed. You know that we don't like to listen. You know that we can't follow instructions. You can work for a person, and the boss tells you, well, I'm going to walk to this door, then we're going to make a right, come around, and come in through the left. And the person you're working for is going to say, no, you're going to walk down to the right, come in through the left, walk down this way, go back around, come this way, and then you're doing it. That ain't what the boss said. He said, walk there, make a right, go around, come in left. But we're always adding our own little two cents in. Why is that? Because we want to be the boss. We want somebody beneath us. We want to tell somebody what to do. Well, I want to tell you something. God don't, he don't need to tell us what to do. So he's already done that. Matter of fact, he know that we can't even listen. We can't follow instructions. That's why he has something called grace and mercy. Because no matter how much we tried, we could not follow instructions. Sometimes, here's Proverbs 20 and 30. It says, blows and wounds cleanse away evil, and beatings purge the innermost being. That's right in Proverbs, a book of wisdom. The book says that sometimes we got to go through blows and we got to have wounds to cleanse away some evil that is going on in our lives. Amen? Sad but true, but God sometimes needs to use these problems to direct our steps to him. You know who comes in a lot of times to the church? And I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about any church. I'm not talking about this church. Any church. Any church. Somebody who's got some real wounds that they just got. And all of a sudden they need some new direction in their life. And they're going to come in and they're going to start looking for people to pray for them. They want to give you the sob story. And they want to tell you that, you know, they've gone through this and they've gone through that. And they really don't understand why this is happening to them. Do you know a lot of those people that those things happen to, that they know the Lord? They know the Lord. But somehow along the way, they got misdirected. Because if they didn't know the Lord, they wouldn't come to church. They'll be coming in, sitting in the back, singing the songs of Zion, because they know them. But it's those wounds. It's the pain, it's the suffering that makes them change their direction. And many times we pray for people and they're prayed over and they're blessed. And you can see the spirit of the holy living God working through them. You can see the Holy Ghost working through them. You can see problems being resolved and changed. But then you don't see them again until something happens again. Once again, I say sad but true. God uses these problems to inspect us. You ever buy some clothes and you get a little tag and then it says inspected by number 23237? You don't know who that person is. But it looks good. It's pretty impressive. You say, I brought this thing. It was inspected by somebody. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God does his own inspection. And he uses problems to inspect us. Amen? You know why? Because people are just like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside of them, just drop them in some hot water. You want to see what a person's made of? Let them get in some hot water. Oh, the toughest bully, the toughest person, all of a sudden they start crying. And you're supposed to be the little guy in the group, and you look at the big guy sitting up there crying in hot water. You want to see what some people are made of? Put them in hot water. Not only that, somebody say ouch. You want to see how spiritual somebody is? Everybody sitting around here running around speaking in tongues? Let the demon walk in here and somebody see where they go. You're so holy. You speaking in tongues. But when the enemy walks in here, that spirit is somebody, or you ain't nowhere to be found. But let me tell you something. That spirit might come looking for you. It'll come chasing you around the church. I want to know this morning, has God ever tested your faith? Has he ever tested your faith? Sister Diana, I'm so happy to see you this morning because I know that you have been through a trial of faith in the last couple of months. She just was blessed to go to Israel. Just as soon as that happened, all kind of things started happening in her life. But you know what? She ain't run away from God. She's here right now. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't get a chance to say something to somebody. You don't even know what they're going through. But my Lord, when somebody is going through something and they still got a smile on their face, they still can talk to you and you never even know what's going on. That means that there's something to that person that is giving them peace beyond all understanding. Hallelujah. You know, when you go through your problems, it reveals something about you. Amen? Problems give us a way of helping us know what we got inside of us. Amen? I had to go through some things, and there's so many that I had that I never knew. But I had to go through some trial, and I had to go through some testing. And I want you to know something. Those were hills then. I still got to go through some trials, and I still got to go through some testing. There's still some hills that I have to climb. There's still some hills that's going to be there. If you look at the sign of the time, you look at the things that you're going through in your life. Have you ever realized that just as soon as something is completed, there's another thing right there? But I discovered that in every trial, in every testimony, there's a trial that's being talked about. You don't have a testimony unless you got something that you've gone through. Because the testimony is the result of a test. Hallelujah. Yes, there are nice days God has given us. But there's cloudy days that we've gone through. Where you say rainy days. And people come and they say, but I'm not going to complain. I'm just testifying of the goodness of the Lord. Pastor Emeritus used to always say, I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. Peter puts it this way. When you're going through your trials, he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These trials are only to test your faith and to see whether or not you are strong and pure. Right? You want to know how fine gold is, you got to put it through some fire. You want to see how pure some silver is, you got to put it through some fire. Have you ever been on the street and somebody walked up to you and opened up the handkerchief and want to sell you something that's all nice and shiny? It looks real good. And they want to give you it for a bargain for $20. That rock is big. That gold is shining. $20, my man. $20. It's just like the devil. He's showing you that rock. That big rock. He's showing you that gold. It's nice and shiny. $20. What God can do for you. But you know what? You don't know what you got until you put it on. You ain't got money to buy your kids something to eat, but you got a nice shiny fake ring for $20. You ain't got money to put in church, but you bought that nice fake ring for $20. God uses these problems to correct us. Hallelujah. Don't you know we need correcting? Correcting don't just come from the pulpit, but it comes directly. Sometimes he has to put his hand on the situation himself because he knows you don't listen to nobody. You don't listen to any warning. Somebody can say, well, you know, you need to check that. Maybe you need to pray on it. But you go ahead and do what you have to do or what you feel like you want to do. And God will use a problem to correct us. Hallelujah. Some lessons are only learned through pain and failure. Amen. I remember as a child, we went down south to Virginia. And my grandmother and grandfather had this old well. And my grandmother said, don't touch that well. Leave that well alone. You know the well you pump? Just as soon as I got outside. Then the wasps come and sting me right in my ear. I went running like a banshee, screaming and hollering. And my grandmother sat me on the knee. I said, well, you know, I told you not to go on out there. You ain't listened to what I said. Took that, what was that, snuff? I was putting it on my ear to kind of cool it down because it was stinging. I don't care what she put on it. All I needed was some relief. God does the same thing. He says, well, you know, you need to leave that well alone as soon as we think nobody ain't looking. You get stung. Sometimes we scream and holler. Cry. Sometimes we cuss. Because, you know, the older we get, we use words when we instead of screaming and hollering. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all ain't been saved all your life. We do all of that stuff because we're stung by something we know we had no business doing. Hallelujah. David put it this way. And sometimes we learn, we get some value out of it, right? We learn not to do that again. But David put it this way. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might earn your decrees. Ain't it something? You see, a decree is something that's already been said. So God has already said something to David. But he had to go through what he had to go through because he didn't listen. And then he says, well, it was good for me to be afflicted so I could be taught and understand what it is that you have talked about. Why do you come to church? Why do you hear the word? Because there's decrees that God has made. There's things in the word that he says. And if you listen to them, if you pay attention to them, if you abide by them, some afflictions that you might not have to go through. God uses problems to protect us. A problem can be a blessing in disguise if it prevents you from being harmed from something more serious. Amen? Real example, Sister Johnson, she's not here, but she was going to go to Tennessee with us. 2 days, 3 days before she was supposed to go, the elevator dropped, and she couldn't go because her body, the pain in her body. So she's laying in the hospital, and I go to see her, first lady go to see her, her sister go to see her, and we're talking to her, and I'm feeling real bad because she wanted to go. I wanted her to go. Everybody wanted her to go. She was talking about how she was still going to go. But then the doctor heard a little wheezing when he put the stethoscope to her. And he said, well, there's something going on. He said, turn around. They took some scans. She had walking pneumonia. That injury is a blessing in disguise. God does a bunch of things that are blessings in disguise. You don't know what God's plans for you were. Amen? My children, let me tell you, were a blessing in disguise. Because I had a number, well, she had some children. We had children. Amen? Bang, bang, bang. And I did not think it was a blessing in disguise. I'm standing online with three different size Pampers. I don't know what a blessing was. But let me tell you what a blessing was. The kid had to get ready. He had to straighten up and fly right because he couldn't be in the street and pay for his children and couldn't afford a family. Were they blessings in disguise? Yes, they were. Yes, they were. I thank God for his understanding of what I needed at the time to straighten me out. You're going through something right now, and you don't understand why God did something. But it's a blessing. It could be a blessing in disguise. Because there's something that you don't see. And I venture to tell you that what God saw, not even Bishop saw. I was doing things, manipulating money. I could get the computer for my dad, for the church, for this and that. I'd have the money taken out of my check. And he was ready to give me the whole shabam. And I'm out in the street, and I'm waiting to get that money. And my wife says, don't you give him all of that money. If looks could have killed. My words did cut, but if looks could have killed, because I could only look when she was with my father. But when we were alone, I used words. But see, God knew. Somehow he listened to her. And I didn't get all of that money right away. I'd probably be dead. And sometimes God won't give you something that you know that you're going to get, but you're going to get it. But you got to be patient. You have to wait on the Lord. He knows better than you. Hallelujah. So he uses problems. He does things to protect us. Amen? The scripture says, like Joseph, I know Joseph when his brothers did all of that stuff to him. I know he was upset. Sometimes people do all of these things to you. But if God's got a plan for your life, the devil can't kill you, and he can't stop what God has in store for you. when them boys were sitting up there looking at that man that they realized was their brother. Have you ever saw somebody that you know did something to you, and then they're standing up before you, and they don't even realize that it's you? Maybe they don't realize the position that you're in. Maybe they don't realize you have the authority to rule over them. And Joseph says to his brother, his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is new being done, the saving of many lives. You can go to those people that are trying to hurt you, that are trying to harm you, that are trying to do things to you. And you can say to them, you intend this for my harming. You intend it for my bad. You intended to be evil to me. You intended to disgust me. You intended to frustrate me. You intended to put me down. But God is going to turn it around for my good. Because when you're a child of God, he will turn things around for your good. God uses problems to perfect us. When we respond correctly to problems, they build our character. Have you ever seen a person who has character? If you've never been through nothing, you ain't got no character. But when you've gone through some things and you can still hold your head high, knowing that you have corrected issues, problems, situations, that's character building. You know old Joe the wino, old Joe the dope fiend? When they get done up, straighten up, you turn around and look, you say, but God, look at them now. Look at them now. When God does a new thing in you, everybody knows that there's a new thing in you. And you know what? You can't fake it. So many people are trying to fake that God has done a new thing in them. I heard somebody say, oh, I feel like speaking in tongues. How do you feel like it? The Holy Spirit don't tap you and say, do you feel like speaking in tongues now? You just start speaking. It is an unction that you get. I feel like speaking in tongues now. Come on, somebody. When you go through things in this character building, God is more interested in building your character than your comfort. So as you're climbing up that hill, it's going to be pretty uncomfortable, but there's a character building situation that's going on. And you might not be able to see it on the outside, but on the inside, strong. Have you ever seen somebody who ran the marathon? All the training that they've done, all the things that they've gone through, 26 miles. It's not how fast they finished. It's the fact that they finished. You climbing your mountain, it's not how fast you get to the top. It's just that you keep going. Keep going. Paul puts it this way. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us to help us to learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us to trust God more each time. And we use it until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Don't you understand that scripture is saying that patience develops strength of character? We're a right now kind of people, a right now society. When somebody comes to your house and they want to sell you a new internet package, they don't tell you, oh, you know, you're going to be able to get on the internet They don't tell you that no more. They used to tell you that. This is what they tell you. Oh, you're going to get 400 MIPS speed on the internet, or you're going to get a gigabyte of speed on the internet. That's their selling point now. Because we want to get to what we want to get, and we want to get there quickly. Meanwhile, when it first started, your speed was like maybe 3 or 4 or 5. And you waited all day for this thing, this little modem, this telephone line to come on. But you were waiting because you was going to get on the internet. Now you can't wait. You can't even wait to get home because you got to be on your phone doing your emails. You got to be on your phone texting and talking to people. You can't wait. Before you leave here, something different has happened. You already know it in a twinkling of an eye. But when we go through trials and tribulations in this life, let me tell you something. It's when God is ready. He don't tell you, well, you come to church and you get saved and you get sanctified and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that I'm going to up your answers and your prayers to 100 MIPS. He don't say that. Whatever the waiting process is, it is. Whatever speed God determines, whatever times and seasons he determines for your life, that's what it is. Amen? The productiveness of these trials, it says, the text says, and when he was transfigured before them, his clothes became white, and it was fuller on the earth. No, so white, there's nothing whiter than it on the earth. Not even anything that could be bleached. Amen? But when these Peter, James, and John saw all of this stuff, they realized that all of that climbing that they did up that hill had paid off. You see, sometimes we're so busy worrying about how hard it is. Don't you know that however hard it is, the reward is great? The harder it is, the greater the reward. Do you know the reward that I have now with my wife? People look at us and say, well, how many kids do you have? We say, 4. So you got 4 kids. So yeah. They have the audacity to ask me, are they all by the same woman? This is the time we're living in now. Come on. And I say, yeah. Then they want to know, you got any outside kids? I say, no. Well, how old are your children? They're not children. They're young adults. And I turn to them and I say, you know what? How old are you? You could be my child. Because those are the people asking me those questions. Older ones, people, they say, are you still married? Right? No, are you married? Yes. To the same person? Yes. And let me tell you, for her and for me, it has been a trial of our faith. Because we trust in God. Amen, Bishop? A trial of faith. Believing in something that you can't see. Because there was times we couldn't even see it, that we would still be married. But it's not because of me, and it certainly ain't because of her. It's because of him. And then after you climb these hills, don't you know there's more hills to climb? After we've raised our children, there's still more hills to climb. Hallelujah. After you do the things that you have been doing, there's still more hills to climb. Amen? So I want you to know that when we sing these songs, that we are climbing the ladder. The ladder gets higher and higher and higher. But the more higher you go, the more blessed you will be. Amen? And the reason why we can be blessed is because we have hope. And I want you to take this as I get ready to close. They said that we could live for 40 days without food. We could live 8 days without water. We can live 4 minutes without air. But we can only live a few seconds without hope. And as long as your hope is in Jesus Christ, you have hope. You have peace and you have hope. Amen. Let us stand this morning.